Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Everyone, how you guys and gals doing? Welcome to the show. Yeah, my co-host Mike is going to be on here in a minute. You know I'm always going to fuck with him. We got Big Bob, man. Tales of the King, man. We're going to talk about some cholo today, baby. I wonder if we're going to talk about some señoritas. Oh, my goodness gracious. I always tell my wife that if I wasn't married to her, I go get me a good-looking Mexican girl, man, because, boy, can they do the cucaracha. I'm telling you that, man. Anyway, how's everybody out there doing in WMMRDB Rockford, baby? We are already picking up on me. Country's going out right there. Mikey Ball's going to be coming and joining us, man. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, all that good stuff. Sunday nights right here live, man, live. Here we go. What's up, Mikey? Come in here, you little one-legged prick.
Well, you got me hidden behind you, so that's that. You always seem to do that. I don't know why. I got to fix it. Okay, no worries. I got it. I'm a producer.
That's why you only have a face for radio, man.
No, okay? No, that's your whole deal. I'm a YouTuber. You're a radio guy.
Yeah, but you're still ugly.
I don't believe so. I don't believe so.
I think so.
I think I do all right. I think I'm just fine.
What are you thinking here, man? You know what? Big Bob reminded me. I wonder if he can hook me up with some señoritas.
Absolutely, that man can.
I'm telling you what, man. The only thing about Mexican women, dude, I grew up with them, okay? The only, they're hot as hell in their 20s and 30s, but get them pregnant, my God, it's over.
Ah, shoot. It's all downhill from there. Oh, no. Dude,
if you tell them to haul ass, they have to make two trips. That's how big they get.
That's rough. It can happen. Listen, it's not always the case, but it can happen.
But you know what? I'd go into the bedroom and I'd say this.
You want to see my cracker?
What I had to have to say.
That's right. Yeah. But anyway, we know the Hollywood handles everything.
I was telling you behind on the show that the wife's kind of pissed off at me right now.
Yeah, that's right.
She a little mad at me.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I don't understand why she's so mad at me.
What happened?
Well, what happened was, you know, I had this thing in the garage just sitting there, not using it, not doing any of that bullshit.
Okay.
So I went and traded it for another bike. So I got three and she's yelling at me. Get out of the room.
So it wasn't another bike for a bike. You just added to another one.
I just added to it. So I'm going to have to ask Big Bob, what the hell's her problem over here?
Damn. I mean, she should be fully supporting, right? Like that. And that's like,
you know what? That is why I always tell you guys, lease it. Don't ever buy that stuff. Okay. Because when you get married, besides them getting half of your stuff, they give you all kinds of headaches. That's why if you lease it, you can give it back.
That's right. There you go. And all the problems go away at the same time. You know what I mean? So,
Look what's going on with you, dude. Oh, my goodness. You got one leg and you're losing your hair at 28. What's going on?
Well, I got a lot of stress. I got to deal with your ass. I got to deal with this show, and which is an awesome opportunity. But I will tell you, it's stressful dealing with you.
It happens, man. That's the same thing my wife says. You know, that's why I go 2 minutes with her and I get out of there. I'm busy. We got Benjamin Hernandez in here. Welcome, Ben. Yeah, it's not like three gals. So, you know what? I really would appreciate that, RY. If, you know, my birthday's coming up, Mike. It is.
I'm turning. What are you? What do you want for your birthday, though?
I'm turning a half a century years old, and I want to trade my wife in for an 18-year-old blonde, but she won't do it for me.
Ah, damn.
But then I sit there and I'm like, damn, man, I'm 50 years old, wrinkly balls like Al Pacino and his 22-year-old broad. And I'm like, it grosses me out.
It grosses yourself out.
Yeah, it grosses me out.
Man. I like that. I like that.
Can't I get like three blondes or something? Hey, I got Rebecca's in here. She's a lesbo. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can I watch? I ask her all the time. Can I watch?
That's right. Can I? I'm just going to watch. All right. Hold on. Just let me see.
So I don't get why they have to be so stingy with that stuff. They know men like watching that stuff.
I don't know. I think it's definitely a protective thing. Like it's their ours, you know, like, I don't know. It's definitely protective.
No, they got to stop being like that, man. Didn't they learn when they were kids to learn how to share?
Nah, that's right. Shoot. That's you're spot on right there. Yep. Got to learn how to share.
Well, Rebecca says she's bi, so you know what? Every woman is out there. I don't care. You don't lie to me.
You really think that?
Wow. I know they are. You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
Why would a woman? You know what? You got to look at it from a woman's standpoint here.
Yeah, they'll look at other women and they'll think they're beautiful, but at the same time,
we're a bunch of hairy apes. Who would want to kiss me?
I do understand that, you know, and that's why there are a lot of probably bis out there. You know what I mean?
That's why I think they all are.
I don't think all of them are. I don't think they all eat carpet like that. But hey, maybe.
You know what? It's not carpet anymore. I heard it's hardwood floors now.
It is hardwood floors, and sometimes a landing strip. You know, those are hot.
See, you didn't have to go through the 90s, dude. You know, they had some bush, man.
You needed a candle and a treasure map in order to navigate through that shit, huh?
It was like the Amazon forest, man.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're waiting for some broad to walk up with a freaking bone in her nose.
Hey, do you remember when you used to have to blow to get to the seam? You remember that?
Man, you're a little weird, dear bro.
That was the 90s. That was the 90s for you.
You weren't even born then.
Yes, I was. 95.
You were born in 95. You know what? You weren't even a freaking sparkle in your dad's eye, man.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. But I know about the 90s. I'm very aware.
I wonder, you know what? I always wondered about this. You know, probably you back in 95. How did you swim and beat everybody else to the egg?
I don't know, but the legless guy won. That's all I got to say.
We're going to bring in our special guest today. It is Tales of the King. He's back there. He's doing a black dragon with his beard right now, combing that sucker down, man.
That's right.
He's doing thing, man. Vato locos forever, homie. You know, going to get some Taco Bell. Well, let's get in here some Big Bob, man. What's up, right, Bob?
What's going on? Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
It is the king himself, right?
The king himself, man. King of the tail. I wonder, do you get a lot of tail? You look like you do. You're a handsome guy.
Thank you. Now I've been married. I've been married over 20 years, so I guess I can say I do. You know,
that's right. Keep that confidence.
At least you don't get sickly dick, man. That's what I always tell people. Watch who you're doing out there, man. You got to be careful out there now.
Hey, so, Christian, it's crazy time. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, man. So, Bob, man, yes, Bob, let's hear about you a little bit, man. Let's talk here.
What do you guys want to know? You want me to just break it down for you? What I'm about?
Well, basically, for those that don't know who you are, well, who the hell are you?
That's right.
I go by Big Bob, man. My name is, Bobby. And, you know, I host Tales of a King on YouTube, Instagram, just how it sounds, Tales of a King. And, been married over 20 years. Two daughters, been riding all my life from dirt to street, right? Riding is nothing new. And our YouTube channel, basically what we do is we just show the positive side of what's happening in the biker community. Events, shops, builders, products, painters, things that are, I guess, people won't show you or don't want to show you or maybe are afraid of, right? Everyone has this stigma of a biker, right? A lot of people do. Well, this is what they're doing maybe that on the flip side that you don't know about. And that's what we're here to do. And, you know, it's working, man. People dig it. You know, we're blessed. Got to do some cool interviews. Got to be some cool places, you know what I mean? I can't lie. But basically, man, that's what we're about. It's a good time and riding, man.
Recently, well, you know what? Before we get into your show, let's get into you. What got you into motorcycling in the first place?
Well, we lived on a ranch in the 90s.
And, so you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking bush, okay?
And so my dad bought me a dirt bike, fell in love with it, man, instantly. Which, you know, I think as a kid, a lot of dudes, right? Not everyone, but a lot of dudes they like that biker thing, right? I mean, I see bikers, big beards and tattoos and like, man, those are bad dudes. So started riding dirt bikes, fell in love with it, you know, did it throughout my life. And when I graduated to motorcycles or, you know, street bikes, same
what
thing.
What did you start off on? Was it like a YZ 125 or?
No, so it was actually like a Kawasaki, a used old one. I mean, just beat down. It was just, it was used, right? We didn't have a lot of money. Later years, I was able to buy myself a brand new one, you know, late 90s, stuff like that. But it was just an old Kawasaki, three-wheeler. And then we had a three-wheeler for a little while, too. You know,
That's awesome.
Just the love for the sport, right? For the motors and the wheels. And then I raced for a little bit, right? But before someone starts talking shit, I raced amateur. So amateur meaning there was only one dude that did doubles. Everyone else kind of.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, that's you know right.
So I hit it a couple times, but that's as far as I went. That was the end of my racing career. I was like, yeah.
Now, you know what? You said you raced, and this is a very interesting topic. A lot of people don't understand how much of a sport it really is, how much in shape you got to be to ride a motorcycle on a dirt.
Right. Insane. And, you know, that's funny you said that because I lift and I work out now, but I can't jump on a dirt bike. I haven't jumped on a dirt bike in a few years. If I were to jump on one now, I probably wouldn't last an hour. I mean, if I were to try to, you know, hit some stuff and to be in shape, to be able to race, you got to be, I mean, everything, you know, physical shape, everything, right? And I was never, you know, I did some things, but never like how people just think you jump on a dirt bike. There's no way, dude, no way. And if I'm wrong, I don't know, but you have to be, it's like anything. You have to continually do it. And you build it. The what? You build it. So yeah, it's arm pumps and all that kind of stuff. It was cool. It was fun. I had a good time, but, to do it now, there's no way I could do it. It'd take me a few months to get back into it.
Absolutely. I mean, let alone you're like 6'11". You know, you're ridiculously tall. You know, I actually got the pleasure of riding with you in a pack with Joseph from the Mayans, actually.
Yes.
And we rode around all the way out from LA to San Diego, and we had a great time, man. And you got to lead the way on that. And what I was getting at is you get to ride these big, super big, you know, bagger Harleys that are tricked out. I mean, your bike is insane. Like one of the best motorcycles I've ever seen. Like it's just magic. But you've got that kind of weight and then you go straight to a dirt bike. That thing probably feels like a total feather. You know what I mean? Like you're like, how does this even keep me up at this point? Because you are a big dude, to be honest. You are a tall guy.
Bro, I haven't jumped on a dirt bike probably it's been years. I don't even own it anymore. Own one. I think last time I was dirt bike was my mid-20s. Maybe late 20s. You know, I'm in my 40s now, so tells you how
now, long. Well, you just said it. You're in your 40s right now.
43, yeah.
The motorcycling community is having a lot of problems with getting kids into the sport. Do you think that major networks should start showing more of, you know, motocross or Moto America type of stuff to get these kids involved and off the YouTube or off the Xbox?
That's a good question because how do you engage them if they're not even engaged, right? If they're not watching to begin with. But I do think so. I do think that'd be a good thing. You know, I have nothing against the new age, right? It is what it is. Here we are. But at the same time, there has to be that division, right? That's okay. You could be on your phone when you're home or your tablet, whatever it is. but during these hours, you got to be out. I think we do need to bring back somehow. I don't have the answer or what the remedy, but yeah, somehow, because personally in my house, we don't have cable. So, and I have girls anyway, but they're older. But if they would have known about that anyway, unless it was from me, like they don't care about the motorcycle scene pretty much. Like they grew up in it, tattoos, motorcycles, dude, that doesn't bother them. So,
right.
But if they're never introduced to it, it might have, right? I'm speaking on girls. So maybe if you have kids or even boys or whatever, introduce them to it, right? Introduce them, look at these dirt bikes, here's this, and anything, sports, whatever. Because I think a lot of households too don't have cable, like myself, right? We don't have cable. We don't watch it. We watch movies or, you know, like you guys do a lot of editing or a lot of the things on the Wi-Fi. Are, you know, streaming. So I don't know. That's my take. But I believe if there is a way they could bring it back somehow. Yes, I think so.
How do we get these kids away from the thinking? Because they are the entertainment generation is what I call them. And they see a lot of shows that ain't spreading a good light on the biker scene. How do we get it into their head that that's not real? This is what everybody's really about. Like you said on your show, you're showing the different aspects of what goes on in the scene.
That's a good question, man. You're coming today, huh?
Hey,
yeah. I think for one, being real, a lot of the influencers, right? And I hate saying this, technically, yes, I am an influencer, right? But whatever,
you are part of, absolutely
part of my nature, right? And I hate saying that, but being real. Right. This isn't all glitz and glamour. And Mike will testify. I'll say that shit all the time on my channel. Look at, you know, we were here the last 2 weeks. But guess what? Back to reality tomorrow. I got to get up at 3 a.m. for work. I got to go out and do my thing. So if they could understand the separation of social media and real life, that a lot of times there's like clout chasing. Just quick showing the kids that quick clout chasing. Be real, be organic. Now I get it. Some people have a character, right? I understand that. I don't think I have a character. I'd like to think I'm pretty transparent, you know.
No, you
for some
are.
Reason when the camera turns on, I turn serious. That's not a character, that's just my nature. I don't know. But outside of that, I'm pretty chill. I'm a relaxed guy, I like to have a good time. But for some reason for myself, when the camera turns on, it goes like instant like business. And
yep.
But if we could show them, look at this is you know, one side of just one side of it, right? It's that much of life. You still have this much of life you have to get through.
Well, I like that you said that. And I like the fact that you said that you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work. A lot of people need to understand that bikers, even, you know, diamond holders, that's what they do every day. What you see right. in the entertainment field is not what it is. Hardworking people taking care of their families, putting food on their table. And I think that's being lost with all this type of entertainment, like you said, influencers and stuff.
I think what has been taught or what is being projected is it's a way out, and it's really not. You know, that small percentage may hit, and my God, if they do, congratulations to you, badass. But you got guys like, you know, myself, like Ball Valve, like yourself, who's been in it for a while. You know, I'm still waiting for my time, but if it never happens, it never happens. At least I know what I did while I did it, it did something. But I think what they're preaching is do this YouTube, do this TikTok, do this Instagram. You're going to blow up. And people are selling themselves. People are selling themselves for
totally.
I don't know a percentage, but a big percentage is probably for nothing, for nothing. I mean, you know, I can get deep in this, but I'm not. It's
very true. You're spot on this. You know, I love that you're diving actually into this subject because it's very true. You know,
what I want to know from Big Bob is who he is, and off air, I want to know about his work ethic and why you would tell, say, your daughters why it's important to go to work.
Okay. Well, I've been at the same company for, it'll be 20 years in January.
Oh, wow. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I've always been in industrial construction, meaning I built tanks at one point, oil tanks, water tanks, big risers. And I moved on to a cement plant. That's where I've been most, 20 years of January. You know, we get up, we go to work. The importance of it, right? I'm union proud. I'm proud of that. But you can't make a living by staying at home. You can't make a living by being lazy, right? I have a daughter in college right now. She's 18. She's going to, you know, Cal State. I got another 15-year-old. They're both smart. They're beautiful. I tell them, look, the 18-year-old works, goes to college full-time, and she stays active in the gym. She works out daily. And those are just things maybe, you know, they see me do. And people ask, well, how do you stay so busy and do everything you do? And my answer is, I don't know. It's so normal, right? If you want something, you have to do it. It's as simple as that. There's priorities, and then there's things that you love. I love lifting. I love training. Is it a priority? It's not. Absolutely not. Training and working out is not a priority. But you know what? It's something I enjoy to do, so I'll find an hour and a half to do it. And that right. just goes like in life altogether. If it's something you love, you'll make time for it. Now, get me wrong. Things happen. You hit and miss. Traveling, you know what I mean? We're doing this and that. But for the most part, it's just finding – it's probably going to sound wrong, but this is how I feel. It's not finding the balance. I don't have a balance. I don't know how I do it. I just do it. I just execute it. It's as simple as that for me. Someone else might say, find the balance, find the balance. My balance is just making it happen. That's all I can say. I'm not, you know, I can't tell you how to do it. I can't teach you how to do it. It's just, if you want something, you have to go and get it. And that's how I was taught. And I hope it passes down. You know, they're driven, they're focused as far as my kids go. And, you know, we're not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to paint a perfect picture, but that's just how it's going. That's the reality of it.
Well, as a union worker, you just, you know, you brought up priorities. And I always tell, you know, my kids, there's nothing better than going to work and coming home beat the shit, but at least you know you accomplished something.
Right, right. Something was done. There was some productivity done, excuse me, for the day. Yep. Hey, whether it was 2 hours or 8 hours, whatever, you know.
You dented it. You actually made an impact by being there. You know, and that's something that I got to enjoy before, you know, where I was basically kind of focusing full time on this. And before I lost my leg, having that career out of sea, that's basically how I felt is every day, though it was the hardest work of my life. You know, it felt gratifying knowing that I actually did make an impact of like for the world, for the shipping. You know what I mean? And so it actually made a dent. And just like your work, you do the same thing. And you are very busy. I can attest to this. I follow you and watch what you do. And it's crazy the amount of stuff that you do do within a day. And you're actually like a guy that I know who schedules his day literally by like the minute. It's like crazy. But they're really organized with their calendar. Is that something that you use and utilize or no?
Absolutely not. I've tried it.
Wow.
I'm gonna be honest. I tried using now I will use like the calendar for reminders and you know the
but just the basic like stuff.
Just the basic stuff. I keep all of it in here. A lot of my stuff is routine. Now if I'm traveling or you know we're doing shows out of town, whatever, that's different. But the daily stuff, I just have to attack it and it adapts to me. I've tried it. I've tried the calendar thing. I've tried everything. For me, it's just, if it's important, like I said, I'll put it in my notes or my alarm, but throughout daily, it's just, it becomes just habit. Now recently it was kind of cool. We kind of slowed down and everything, especially like the October coming to the end of, traveling for like Tales of a King and stuff. So I'll be able to have the couch time with my wife. So after, you know, after workout, whatever, we'll come home, watch a movie, you know, sip some whiskey, whatever, chill out. So I always enjoy that. But once it gets going, it's just like, you know, balls to the wall. We're going, you know.
Yeah. And his stuff is incredibly cinematic. I mean, it's movie grade. It's incredible, you know, the quality that this man puts out. And it's actually an honor that you guys some of you guys don't know. Having Big Bob on the show right now, he's interviewed some of the most incredible legends on his show. And he's never really on the other side of being interviewed. So it's really kind of cool for him to be on this side of it because he's usually the guy interviewing.
I don't think I like it.
You're like, I don't like this position. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that you got in the dirt bikes early on, but what got you into where you're at now, the Harley Davidson?
My dad.
What made it so special to you?
My dad. So he rode and, he rode and I got my bike, I bought my first new Harley after he passed away. So I never got to ride with him, but, he was like my influence, right? He was my real hero, right? I'm not trying to sell him whatever, but he really was, right? He was a bad dude. And I say that in a way of not physically, not, you know, to me, he was a bad dude, right? Mm-hmm. And so that him and, he wasn't tattooed like me. I mean, we look alike, but he wasn't like heavily tattooed. He rode, he had a good time, just like what I'm doing now, except, I do what I do on this, all this other stuff. But that was the gateway really to getting a Harley. And I can't lie to you. As a youngster, I loved the tattoos, the beards, the party scene, like all that cliche stuff. That was me.
And that was what you were about. Yep.
I'm still about it. You know what I mean? A little yep. calmer now, but
I've been around Big Bob when he's partying. I've been around. Trust me, you can get a little wild. It's cool.
So what was your first bike? What was your first Harley?
2006 Softail Deluxe. I rode an FXR for a while. Then I rode a GSXR for a while. That GSXR didn't last long. It was a couple months. But 2006 Softail Deluxe. Choloed out, of course. Bought it 2000. Well,
what drew you to that bike?
The gangster look.
Yeah.
Gangster look. And, it's... I never was a gangster. I never was gangs or nothing like that. But I just, it's maybe it's just in my blood. You know what I mean? Like, that's my thing. We had, obviously had the white walls at 21 in the front, 16 in the back, 18-inch Carnelias at that time, Samson fishtails, 30, the 39, the Cholos, right? The stupid big, well, they weren't stupid to me, but back then.
No, but everyone, yeah.
And, that's what B-class was just kind of come about.
With the Cholo style, it's one of my favorite ones, but a different way to me because I'm huge in the lowriders and the artistry that actually goes into a Cholo. A lot of people, they just look at it as style and stuff. To me, it's a work of art. The line.
Absolutely, it is.
Am I right on that?
You're right. Because my Deluxe was, stock paint. We had the white walls, of course, we had the apes, we had the fishtails. I never got crazy with it. Now, when I got my Road King, I had it for a lot of years. It was an 05 as well. Had it for a lot of years, just about 3 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, I asked my wife on to paint it. It was black, had black walls, 21-inch spoke, 16-inch, rear. We had straight pipe, straight cut. So it was kind of the opposite of what the Deluxe was. And my wife said, let's paint the bike. I'm like, I don't want to paint the bike. I haven't washed it in 2 years. Why do I want to paint it? I mean, then I got to wash it. So my buddy, OG La Tortuga, shout out to him. He painted his bike, his Road King. I said, damn, that looks clean. So my wife said, well, just have him paint. I said, look, this is what we'll do. Okay, because, I got listening, right? I got listening to mama, right? She wants to paint it. I said, well, paint it, throw some new wheels, and maybe some air suspension. So this adds something to it. Long story short, that thing went frame up pretty much. Paint, air ride, front, rear, tunes, chrome. Just it went off. It went off. And it turned into the bike.
What do you think about the style? Go ahead and show his bike, Mike.
Well, this is his bike now, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you guys, he was just about to get to this paint because this is some serious stuff. And you guys are going to be like, oh, wow. All right. This is some serious deal.
That's what I'm talking about right there. It's got the gold.
Have no idea. Every nut and bolt is custom. Everything.
How many spokes you got on that one?
That's a 60 fat spoke.
Oh man, that's what I'm talking about right there. But look at the style of the lines of the Cholo, what I'm talking about, how hugged up to the frame that the front end is. I wish you can get it bigger because I can't see because I'm blind as a bat. I need glasses. But right. What do you think about the artistry when it comes to the paint?
Well, the guy who painted, who built it, like I said, Raul OG La Tortuga, I told him, he dude gets nuts. He gets down. I mean, he's ridiculous. He's done literally award-winning, like a lot of guys' bikes. I said, look it, bro. I'm not that dude, right? I like my shit simple, just clean, you know, just, let's just go. And he kept telling me, let me do some stuff. So I just, you know what? When I dropped it off at his house, I said, do what you want, but remember, I'm going to be on it. And meaning, I feel like your bike has to match you in some way. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like you are your bike. That's who you represent. That's who represents you, you know? That's how I feel. If it sounds cheesy, but I really don't care. I feel like you, what you're on is you. And when he did that, he came up. I didn't see it till it's done. I said, I don't want to see it till it's done because I didn't want, you know, he does crazy patterns and crazy lines. And that the way he did that was simple to the point, and it's just all. And what's crazy is he's done a lot of bikes, but you know, they're not similar, but you know, that's his paint. I don't know if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
No, that makes big sense. Do you think that the low ride or the Chicano style of motorcycle is an extension of the gifts of the Chicano lowrider scene?
Oh, 100%. 100%. It stemmed off the lowrider scene. I mean, the air ride, the white walls, the spokes, you know what I mean? The way it sits low, the fishtails, the sound. I have an 88-inch, so my I rattle coming down. I sound like an old bomb.
Yeah, you are loud. It's deafening.
That sucker's loud.
Yeah, I was behind you on that ride.
It definitely comes, you know, from the lower air scene. It's definitely a branch off, which it's actually becoming its own, you know, becoming its own thing now, you know, which is huge.
Mm-hmm. It is huge. And the care that you put into your motorcycle where you said, okay, I'm going to sit back and let the artist paint it for me.
Right.
What was your reaction when you first laid eyes on it being all customed up?
Probably like that.
Straight up.
I'm not a visionary, right? I'm going to be honest. I'm not a visionary. So I can't sit there and say, let's do this. The weird thing was when it was torn apart, I was able to see more. I know it sounds funny, but together I'm not a visionary. So I remember when the first time I saw it, I was one of those things where like, nah, that ain't mine, is it? Like, bro, that's my Road King. He's like, yeah. I mean, I was blown away, like unreal. I never wanted a Vikla, let alone. I have one. How I never wanted one. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? I mean, right. I go to the garage every night. I mean, I open the door when it's home and be like, "Bam! Look at that sucker!" Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's even now. Right now, it's in the shop because of, you know, I'm on my way to Arizona last week. I had some issues, so I ride. You know, I ride. So people ask, yes, I ride.
Yeah, he actually rides that bike, by the way, guys. Actually rides.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Even up to last week, before we left, Thursday night, opened the garage. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's been a couple of years since it's been built like that. Now, it never gets old. I don't know, you know. And I talk about dudes who have built vehicles or built bikes just in general, even like performance, and they're like, dude, I just go up in the garage. I'm like, that's my girl. You know what I mean? Like, there she is.
Well, put a lot of work into it.
Yeah. For sure. You know what?
Go ahead.
Now it's washed every month. I don't play.
That's right. Well, moving on, Bob, let's talk about the Tales of the King, what it's about. And you have done a lot of great interviews, and I'd like to know who your favorite one was.
That's a good one. Wow, you can put me in a spot like that, huh?
Welcome to Hollywood show, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, shock jock.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a favorite one because a lot of them have different elements of what they do, right? You know, we did Danny Dixon of Dixon Flannels. We've done Mike Pro Lids from Mike's Pro Lids. We interviewed Mike.
I got one.
Speaking of names, you know what I mean? I'm name dropping here. I don't do that. You guys know me. I'm not like that.
No, that's absolutely right.
Joseph of the Mayans, right? They all bring something different. I don't think we've had one interview that was the same. So, but as far as a favorite one, I don't think I have a favorite. I just love to be out there. I mean, I'll tell you, first of all, to be even accepted, right? I DM'd Danny Dixon on Instagram, straight up. I say, hey, man, a couple years ago, I said, what's up, bro? My name is Bobby, da, da, da. I said, I have a YouTube channel, you know, called Tales of a King. I'd love to have you on if you're able to do it. He was like, let's do it. Took a few months to figure out. We finally did it, bro. Insane. That dude, the hospitality, nuts. We showed up there about 9 a.m. We didn't leave till almost 10 p.m. I mean, we did the episode. We partied. He bought us food, his drinks. I mean, we hit it off. Good times, solid dude. Nothing but good times. You know,
what's the payoff like for you doing all that work in the background and finally you got your interviewee sitting right in front of you?
Payoff was like, wow, we did this. I say we, right? It's only two of us, but, and of course, you know, naturally everyone's involved, whether your family, people support you, it affects everyone, right? They may not be there physically, but it affects them.
It's trickling. So
the payoff is for me is like, damn, we actually did this. You know, we were actually here. They accepted our invitation and we did it. Now, in a literal sense of payoff, there is no payoff. I guess what? I drive back home Sunday. I go back to work Monday. What did I make on that? Absolutely nothing. I spent about $500 in gas and hotel money and food. And that's what
I'm not talking about money wise. I'm talking about.
But that's good. That's actually good to know because we talk about that often as well, that YouTube is people have this glamour thought about what we do, but really realistically, it's not paying out like people think it is. But yes, Hollywood did have a different angle.
If I could do this, what else can I do? How much bigger, right? How much farther can I go? And I would like to go bigger eventually. But one thing I noticed about our show is people dig the everyday dude, the everyday shop, the everyday, you know, builder, the guy who makes a product out of his garage and now manufactures it through someone else, right? Because they can relate to those people. And so we messed around with the, you know, this, I guess celebrities in a sense, whatever. And one thing we found is people, I guess they can relate more to the everyday blue collar or whatever it may be. And so for me, the payoff is the fact that Danny Dixon, right? Like he said, no publicity is bad publicity. Not that he needed ours, but you talk about some of these other people that we interviewed who maybe they said, hey, bro, after the show, I got 10 orders. Or after the show, I had like, you know, 15 people hit me up about builds or, you know, wanting this done, wanting that done. To me, and that's what it's all about, right? That's what the show's about is bringing light to what everyone's doing, everyone else is doing, right? That's the payoff is the fact that, okay, what we're doing is actually working. Like, damn, dude, you built 3 bikes since you've been on the episode? That's huge, like awesome, you know? So what we're doing is working. What we're doing is actually people are watching, people are listening. Even if it's just a, hey, how much for this? And nothing happens, but to me, it's like, dude, they reached out to you? Awesome. So it's working. Now you're in their head and their ear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so and Tales of a King is incredible. Like you said about the everyday average Joe, let's just say. It's incredible because there are amazing people that aren't celebrities that really put their love and admiration, heart, money, soul into their motorcycles and have a real story, but they're not they're not in the public eye like that. And you really get to catch those people that are really like in the underground. It's like they're mega, but you know, publicity wise, it's different, you know? So that's where it kind of weighs different on the street and where it weighs different on, you know, that kind of like influencer thing.
It's kind of funny you said that, because you said, I always tell people, like, you know, people are always nervous naturally, right? They're nervous. I said, well, after this, you're going to become a celebrity. And every time, bro, like I get like a text months later. Oh my gosh, I was in, I had one lady, text me from Cancun. She's from out here. She goes, some guy said, you're the lady from the show. And they put it on in the bar in Mexico.
Oh, wow.
That's badass.
That is badass.
Now, when you're producing your stuff and there's a lot of background work going into it, how do you come into your interviews with somebody? What angle do you want to come at them with? What questions you want to go? What are you trying to find out about them?
Basically, same thing today, who they are, what they're about, how they got into riding, you know, why this style motorcycle. You know, we had a few episodes too where it wasn't about the motorcycle, it was about what they did. Mm-hmm. And the motor, you know, riding was just part of them and what they provided. But it's just about who the person, shop, company is, whatever it may be, what they provide, events. We've done events, right? So it's more or less, who are you and what do you do? And if, you know, if you have a badass bike, then what was the purpose behind this build? You know, why this company, why that company, why these bars, why those pipes? And so just it's more of a who are you, right? And let the people know, like, they're one of the ladies we interviewed, the last lady, we call this episode Tales of a King Queen. She's been riding over 30 years. She started off on a street bike, and she's very well known, but she's not well known, right? And now she's like, everyone's like, I can't go nowhere. I'm like, well, that's part of this, you know?
Yeah.
She has an amazing Vikla, a soft tail. And she just wanted to come up in the scene. She was there riding crotch rockets in high heels, when girls weren't supposed to be in the 80s, you know, doing that kind of stuff. So there's always a cool story behind. And it's not always a sad story, right? I'm not always looking for a, oh, woe is me, right? Nothing against that, right? But there's always a cool story behind everyone who rides.
Right.
Now, Douche has a question for you, Bob. Do you think that your show is helping contribute to the rebuilding that sense of community that's lost in the social media age?
Well, social media is here, right? And yes, we have lost a lot of things with it, right? We can't deny that. I would like to think it's doing something, right? I like to see it as a positive outlet, or a positive, even just seeing people see a positive thing happening. You know, one thing I will actually, you guys heard of Bagger Society. I know Bagger Irvin for a long time, Bagger Society. We teamed up recently, and we got this slogan, right? We're going to come out with this called Make Riding Great Again. Meaning, why'd you buy a motorcycle? And I'm not hounding events. I go to events. But dude, in SoCal, bro, we got 10 events a weekend.
It's ridiculous.
10 events, easy.
Easy. You could easily do that in like probably within a day and a half. You know what I mean? So it's kind of wild.
Our thing is like, you know what? Event, right? I support events, you know, if I'm able to. My family comes first, right? Motorcycle is and has been a big part of where I am in my life. But at the same time, it's not my life, if that makes sense. So if I'm able to, I'll go. But we're coming up with this thing, man, called Make Riding Great Again. And what we want to do is next year, we already did it. We've been in Chicago, and I was supposed to go to Arizona, but shit happened. So next year, I know we plan on doing some other things I'm not going to mention because of obvious reasons. Is we want to hit some states that people may not have our type of
style
and I hate to say this again, our influence, right?
Yeah.
Like, wow, these guys are coming to our state. These guys are coming to our event, but it's out of California or even Northern California, right? It's a 6-7 hour trip for us. It's a mission. So it's like, that's what we want to do. We want to call it Make Riding Great Again. Get on your bike and ride. Okay, nothing wrong with doing the local event. Badass. Like I said, I do. But I just spent $50,000 on a motorcycle to ride 20 miles every weekend. right? Let's go. I got caught up in it too. I'm not gonna lie. Yes, I travel a lot. I do this. So that's all I was able to do. But at the same token, let's go. Let's use what they're made for, and that's to ride. So Do I think? I hope so. I hope so. Maybe next year we'll make a bigger impact. Try to go as much as we can out of California. I say out of California. I'm from California. I know how it is here. You know, let's showcase what Texas is doing, what Arizona is doing, Utah is doing, New Mexico. Let's show everyone else what they're doing, right? We know what we're doing.
It's almost like a different culture in each, you know, it's a subculture in each state, or, you know, the more you go into the Midwest and then obviously you go into the East, you get into these different styles of subcultures. So it would be really cool for you to be able to highlight not just maybe, I mean, because you don't just do the Chicano culture and do that Vikla style, because at first that was your basically kind of the angle at first, but then it got so deep where it was really storytelling. And I love it because they're telling their story as you're giving real deal cinematic shots of them actually riding, of their bike, them explaining it, talking about it, how it was done, the engravings, whatever. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a Vikla anymore. It can be a whole bunch of stuff. And that's the beauty behind what you're doing right now.
We were in Chicago in last month, or are we in October? In October, this month, a few weeks ago. And the turnout there was amazing. And they're trying to build up their community there as a whole, right? And the Vikla Chicano Latino community. And they had us out there, and there must have been, I don't know, over 200 bikes that showed up for this run. If you guys have ever been in Chicago, it's not a very
I'm from
Chicago.
That's a city and state, bro. That's his city and state.
I was like, bro, there's 3-foot potholes, 10-foot wide.
Welcome to Chi-Town. Where you have to dodge the freaking potholes and the bullets at the same time.
That's what they told me. Like, bro, if you get shot, you're kind of screwed because the cops aren't going to do nothing.
They won't. What do you think about how everybody in the biker community has taken to the Cholo style?
You can't hide it. There's a bunch of people doing it. For me personally, I think it's great. A lot of people may not like that answer. I think it's great. There's style behind it. There's culture behind it. There's you got so many styles, meaning you can make your Vikla yours and mine look like mine, but they'll look like two different Viklas. You know, you can never do the same one. And I've looked. There's the little bells and whistles that people change. But the fact that people embraced it, I mean, look at China, Japan, was it Russia or Germany just started building their Viklas. I mean, it's just like a worldwide, it's probably more eye candy. It is, they're beautiful bikes. But at the same time, hey, it's like anything, right? If you want to embrace it, take it. Like for me, take it. That's a beautiful thing. You want to be a part of that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right, Jason. Welcome to Chicago. Come here for vacation. Stay because you got killed. They don't call us Chai Rock for nothing, do they?
We're out there in Paulson's?
Pilsen?
Pilsen, yeah.
Yeah.
Right there. Shout out to the Legion, American Legion. I can't remember the number, but man, they took care of us Friday night.
Man, oh man, you should have went to Humble Park, man, and went to see Llama, man. There's
some come on.
Llama's good. Latino American Motorcycle Association, they know how to party down there.
Llama's awesome. They guided us for the event on Saturday, and they came in deep. Crazy.
Yeah, wow. Llama is hardcore, man. They're the best guys to party, and Gales too, man. The party with down there in Humble Park, man. They got the best Puerto Rican food around. I'm telling you. Next time you go to Chicago, let me know, dude. I'll show you around.
Yep. I'll be the tour guide.
I just won't take you to the south or west side, dude. I want to live.
They said after dark, we're not going this way. I said, hey, you're from here, not me.
Yeah. You guys take control here. I don't know. I don't want to go down the wrong street.
You might be okay, but we won't.
Right.
But you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, how you like that everybody's catching on to the Viklas and the Cholo style, because there is a lot of history out there, as well as the Mexican culture. People are drafted, or they're getting clung to because of that heritage.
Right. And there's a lot of people that actually, I interviewed a guy in Chicago, we went back there, and he's from Indianapolis. His Vikla Softail was just unreal. His paint looked like it was SoCal paint. I mean, everything was done. I hate saying that, but SoCal is the Mecca.
Yeah,
right?
No, it's mint. Tell the difference. It's mint. You know? Yeah, for sure.
And I seen this thing up front. I said, bro, who painted this? He goes, oh, a guy out here. I said, damn. I mean, his bike was this primo. And I said, what made you want to build a Vikla? He goes, I just love what it stands for. I love the culture. I love the meaning behind the Aztec warriors, behind the goddesses, and you know what it means. I said, wow, that's crazy. I said, that's awesome. I said, that's awesome. So people are actually not only saying that looks cool, but what does it mean? You know what I mean?
What's it stand for?
What does it stand for?
Where you don't have other styles of bikes where people say that. No, this is centered around the Cholo. And Steve just said his homeboys in Cambodia and Vietnam are rocking Vikla style bikes now.
Wow, that's awesome. It's worldwide. Yeah, definitely. That's awesome.
One thing I've always said, and I've said it even on my channel and in my, some of the podcasts, is the thing about the Chicano and Latino, I say Chicano and Latino because it's so big now, right? Sounds like Chicano, is we're probably one, and I say this, I'm just going to say it, one of the only cultures who will accept or even allow, I guess, for lack of words, people to be a part of, right? Like, dude, like, build the Vikla. Build the lowrider. You got blacks, Chinese, whites. You got everyone lowriding. Now everyone's, you know, not slowly, but everyone's drifting into the Vikla scene. A lot of guys who have lowriders now have Viklas.
And it's Professional Monkey just built one out. But that's one thing I always loved about the lowrider crew. Everybody was welcomed then.
Yeah. I went to this event. It's called Road King Day. Right. And it was a right. Black right. State. Right. And they invited me out. I was like, hell yeah. And I'm on it all. Let's do it. I interviewed this guy. Right. And he said, man, he's like, we're talking, I had him on the mic, and he goes, there's one thing about motorcycles. Motorcycles don't know color. They only know pavement. And I said, damn. I was like,
that's hard. That's hard.
Like the most, I got the chills. I'm like, this dude's like something so simple. Like, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
You're absolutely right.
Going
back to your show. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Well, I just got to say real quick, you know, me being here in Southern California, being able to actually attend the same events that basically Big Bob is talking about. And it is, you know, it's primarily, you know, Hispanic, right? But at the same time, what he was talking about, the embrace of different cultures, other people, let me be the first one to say that when I show up, it is nothing but love and respect from everybody. Everyone there shows love and respect. It's insane. Like, I've never been embraced by a culture like that ever.
Yeah.
Simple.
It's true. Well,
going back to your show, Big Bob, Tales of the King, the cinematics behind it, what got you so deep in the video editing, the different B-rolls, you got into it. It's like, damn, did he go to film school or something?
So that's not me. Obviously, I'm just a dummy in front of the camera. That's
Alpha Films,
Julio, who... So that's the man I met. He was 19. I met him at the gym. And he was doing just working out videos on his iPhone at the time. But he was doing it for people. I just told him, hey, look, I can't pay you, blah, blah, blah. But I would love to do some things with you. Let's do it. And I told him, I can't pay you, but one day it's going to pay off. And just recently, I'll say this, recently we parted ways a couple months ago due to the fact he outgrew me. And I'll never hold you back. I'll never hold anyone back. And so he outgrew me. And we're still everything's good. We parted ways in a sense where I told him, you need to go, literally. Like, so he's out doing, I mean, he does, I won't say, because I'm not supposed to, if I'm supposed to, but he's doing some of the best builders. He's doing their promos, videos. He's doing all their, I mean, that's the man right now. So,
yeah,
that's the man, the cinematic stuff, that's the man behind it. The new stuff, you know, it's me.
How do you feel being able to build somebody up where they actually got bigger than you?
It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me.
Is it a sense of accomplishment in that, helping somebody get big? That's what I always say to creators, get bigger than me, you know, yeah. Do your thing. And it makes you feel good that you help somebody.
Well, that was the whole reason. Once Tales of the King started taking off, I realized it's not about, not that it was, but it's not about me. It's about everyone else, right?
Yes.
No one, my name, my face is already out there before this, in a sense, right?
Yes.
But who's this guy? Who's that guy? Who's this builder? Who's this product? Who's this, you know, blue collar dude that just works his ass off for his family? He has a nice lowrider, a nice bike, right? There might be some kid going, man, I want a bike like that. Well, hey, I'm a carpenter. This is how I did it. Mm-hmm. You know, imagine if you were a carpenter. Imagine you got into some trade. So for me, it's the fact that, yeah, what we did and how we maybe showcased you know, game over. That's, I go home happy. You know, I don't think we've had one episode where, I'm not asking everyone to have this crazy takeoff, but I don't think we've had one episode where someone's like, bro, that was a waste of time.
Right.
If they did, I hope they would say that. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? It's so interesting that you brought up your carpenter. So your carpenter skills help you build something, and you took that to building on YouTube or whatever platform you're on.
Right. We interviewed a guy at San Diego named Renee, and he has a sweet Road King. He has a couple of lowriders now. But I asked him, well, how, as a cement concrete pourer, you know, I don't know proper name, sorry. Well, how were you able to have this beautiful house, this beautiful, you know, Vikla? He said, man, make it work. He's like, I did side jobs for years and years, and that money mm-hmm. I set aside. I said, so you don't have to have like a business or be this extravagant influencer or have sponsors. You make it happen. You make it work. And he used what he knew. I forget how he said it, but he knew, I used what I knew how to make money after work.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was like, whoa, it could be done. Anybody could do it.
How important is it for you to surround yourself with people that can help you grow? You know, for instance, you know, I work at a shop and, you know, I'm like awestruck when all the mechanics are working on the cars and stuff because it's technology I don't know. And it helps me grow. How does it work with you? How does it work when you help others grow? Is it important to have, you know, surround yourself with good people?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I think like most of us is we have a certain, none of my friends on a daily, I guess you could say, or like, you know, people I ride with or people I hang with, they're not into what I'm into as far as like social media and all that.
Right.
But we're all the same. We all have the same goal. We all want to win. We all want to achieve. We all want to get better. We want nicer things. We want, you know, provide better. We want to succeed in life. I don't really have, like Mike, I reach out to Mike. I don't really have a lot of friends, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, but for me it works, that are into what I do. Now, there is a few guys that I could go to, because not even my friends don't understand if I have a bitch about what's happening right here or what's happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like, who cares, bro? Like, so you got to have those few people that understand you.
That can really relate to you rather than they're just trying to understand when someone like me can like understand, like, for instance, your media going, you know, a camera going out for a second and how dramatic that can go, you know, and we're dealing with mega cameras here. We're not dealing with, you know, an iPhone, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, it's incredible.
It is
important for that, isn't it, Bob, to surround yourself with people that want you to do good. You don't want to be around negativity.
No, you want people who are like-minded. And the one thing I've been really focused on lately is, because it's been happening, like you said, people outgrowing you or passing you. that's just the way it is. Hey, you know what? And if I was part of that, badass, dude. If I was part of you moving up, awesome. Because I know eventually I'm right there. You know, yep. I'm not chasing you. I'm just right behind you.
Yep. You're focused on your own ride, you know, and you're glad that he is doing what he's doing, you know, because you were able to basically put him in that position. Now he's taken off because he does so well. He's so talented and you're so talented as well. So the same thing is going to happen to you. You know, naturally, if you just follow your daily habits, that you're going to get to that end goal blindly without even looking for it because you are putting in the daily habits every day.
Exactly. I talked to this guy who owns a clothing brand years ago. I have my clothing brand still. I won't say who it is. But I see him in downtown L.A. at the Garment District. We're buying shirts. He said, hey, Bob, how's it going, bro? I said, it's all right, man. You know, just I was doing the comparison thing at that time. Now, mind you, I just had the clothing brand. I didn't have none of this. And I was like, you know, these guys are blowing up. He goes, focus on you. He goes, you know, there's billions of people in this world, not just what's on your social media, not what's in Southern California, billions. He's like, quit worrying about what everyone else is doing and just focus on you. I remember thinking that's so simple. Yet
now as a father of successful daughters and talking about that, how did you approach them on how to achieve their goals in life?
Well, you know, a big thing was, I think a big part of that was they've been there. We started a clothing brand. They weren't even teenagers. So they've been a part of that. We took them everywhere besides certain events, I think a couple Arizona events that, you know, that I wouldn't be like, no, no, no,
right.
It might get a little wild. I think Vegas, the Vegas one, we didn't take them to, but so they've been there. They've been a part. They've seen it, right? They've seen the what it takes, the long nights, the early mornings, the road trips. And I've always just told them, like, straight out, like, one of my favorite sayings, if you want something, go get it. Mm-hmm. And because no one's going to do it for you. I promise. No one's going to do it for you. Not no man, you know, no job. If you want to make it happen, you have to make it happen. So I push school, naturally, right? But I would say if you don't want to go to school, you need to find some kind of career because you gotta have some kind of a foundation, some kind of a job or a career, preferably, that could take you a long way. And I think, but most of it is just by watching,
being a good influence.
Not perfect shit, you know what I mean? By any means, I'm not perfect.
Do you think the thing that's wrong with the younger people nowadays is they don't have a father figure talking to them about how to achieve a goal?
It could be. I do believe a lot of times, just like, here, go to your room. Here, I want this, I want that. Yeah, leave me alone. Here's your iPad, here's your tablet, here's your phone, whatever. We try to do, even now that they're, you know, a little older, yesterday we went to the pumpkin patch. And I'll tell them, I'll do that until they don't want to. You know, they're 18 and 16, you know,
that's right.
You know, it's not the same, of course. It's a little more, it's cut.
It's different. It's going to be different, obviously. But, I mean, it's a different experience.
We have a good time. It's like, and I tell my wife, I said, man, in a couple of years, this ain't going to happen no more, you know, until we have grandbabies, if that happens, whatever. But I feel like if try to be there as much as you can, right? And by all means, all I've ever done is my best. And I say that because I'm not perfect, right? I just try to give my all and do my best and show them working hard pays off, what it can do, right? I'm a union worker, right? I do have a career. I'm blue collar. That's going to be me until who knows when, you know what I mean?
Right.
I am what I am, but I'll do what it takes. You know what I'm saying?
And I think that, you know, what you just said was so damn important for kids to hear. And for all those that are coming into the scene, this is what a biker is about. It's not what you're seeing on the TV. This is a true biker, goes to work, takes care of his family, raises a family, and sets goals for himself. He's not any different than the Wall Street guy. He's not a crook. Is what I'm trying to say. Right. But you know, what can we be looking forward to on Tales of the King coming up?
We got I got some so we did a Borracho Fest a couple weeks ago, which means, you know, the drunk fest. And so we've got like a little snippet of that. Nothing too crazy. They invited us just to bring like some eye candy, some bikes. We bought some Viklas and we just hung out, partied. Arizona trip was cut short, so I won't have anything on that, but Bagger Society will, a little plug. And then just, I'm going to stick to some local stuff throughout this winter. I want to be home more, so I'll still be doing some small stuff, but just local interviews. Local meaning, you know, within a half hour, you know, get home every night. But next year, I'm telling you right now, we're going to be out and about. So look out for us. If anybody wants to sponsor, hit me up. You know, we're always looking for sponsors and stuff just to help out. But, you know, we got one sponsor right now, that's Cyclesmiths Inc. And shout out to them, man, for always taking care of us. But obviously, you guys know what it takes to do the damn thing. It takes, you know, a lot. So, more content, more fun, and more vlog style, obviously.
Oh, I like that, too.
I mentioned there you go, work, so more blog stuff.
Well, you know what? We can always have him come to Chicago in the middle of winter, see how he likes it.
Oh, hey, bro.
The people from Chicago said they would leave if they're able to during the winter.
They
said, I'm born and raised here, and if I could leave, I'd leave.
I would, yeah.
See, my problem was always if I couldn't see the Sears Tower, I would get homesick. That's how bad it was for me.
Wow. You know,
if I couldn't see it, well, you guys probably call it the Willis Tower, but anybody from Chicago still calls it that. Yeah.
Yeah, you actually had a legitimate thing on that. You're not just saying that to say that. You actually had like an actual thing about that. If you couldn't see that tower.
I had a phobia.
Yeah, you had like a legit phobia. Like a legit phobia, yeah.
Yeah, wow. A lot of us in Chicago, we couldn't leave. If we didn't see that tower, we were too far.
So you're still there now?
No, I finally got over that, man. I moved out. You know, the schools got kind of bad for the kids, so we
out of here.
So, yeah. But I really appreciate having you on, Bob, and really getting to know you personally.
Thank you.
I really like a lot of what you had to say. It was it's a good thing for the kids out there, even though you shouldn't be listening to me out in this station. You're too young, but if they did hear it, it's a good thing to hear it from somebody like you.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that. Thank you guys for having me on. Man, like I said, it's only my second interview. The first interview was in an airplane. It's called the Aircast. Yeah.
Wow. That's a pretty radical. I don't think we could beat that. I don't think we could beat putting you on a plane or nothing, you know, but.
Yeah, no.
I'm just wondering if you achieved that mile high club. That's all.
That's right. That's right. That's all that matters in this whole story.
I don't think there's no right answer for that. I'm going to leave it alone.
Yeah, he's just going to say, plead the fifth.
I'm going to dig myself.
Well, everybody, that was Big Bob from Tales of the King. Just make sure you go over there and check him out. Real down-to-earth guy, man. Blue-collar worker. Union boy right there, man. What union you part of?
USW Local 1247.
Oh, there you go. Rock on, man.
As well as I sit on the committee. So let's add one more thing to my
wow. Just
to my resume.
Another thing.
Oh, you're on the committee? You a steward?
Top five. No, the board.
Jesus. Yeah, so you're really, I mean, you're always scheduled. I mean, you're not going to be posting that stuff on your social media.
But
just knowing that you have that on top of what you post, holy shit.
Damn. You know what? For my final question, and it's going to be kind of a controversial one, Bob, and you might not want to answer it, but since you're union, where's Jimmy Hoffa buried?
Thank you for tuning in. I tell you what, it ain't where I'm from.
Damn, I thought I'd get it. Anyway, everybody, hopefully you guys had a good time and all that good stuff. Again, Tales of the King with Big Bob, man. Go check it out. It's on YouTube and stuff. He's really getting down right over there, man. Cinematics are awesome. But anyway, we'll let you finish off, Bob, and we'll end up.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you all. Nothing but love and respect, man, and everyone who's watching. Thank you for all the continued love and support. And I always say, without any of you guys, anything I do or we do could never be done or accomplished. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Rock on, man. We'll catch you on the Madhouse tomorrow morning, you crazy ass hooligans.
And that's it for a Motorcycle Madhouse Morning Mayhem. Don't forget to visit us on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and all major podcast platforms for all the